Joel once said to you that often he would spend quite a bit of time working on a sermon, and then all of a sudden, maybe on a Saturday or a Saturday night or a Sunday morning, all of a sudden something happens and the whole sermon changes. And I know what that's like. It's not quite exactly what happened to me, but I came up with some thinking about what I was going to say. I came up with all kinds of ideas. I go online. I mean, who doesn't go online now, right? One of my favorite sites, and you may want to check this out. One of my favorite sites is called Laughing Bird. It's a site of a church in Australia. Nathan Nettleton is its pastor, and the things that they do, I think, and not everybody agrees with me, but some of the things that they do, including paraphrasing scriptures to make them what they believe it more relevant, is quite interesting. There was a time when I would try to duplicate the Australian accent, but I don't do that anymore. And I'm not going to, the scriptures you've already heard, so I'm not going to paraphrase the scriptures the way that they did either. Although I think the way that they paraphrase sometimes brings some really interesting meaning to scriptures that the words written way back when don't have. Now, having said that, we're just coming off of Easter, where this incredible story takes place of Jesus being crucified on the cross, his hands nailed onto the arms of the cross, his side pierced with a spear, nails put through his feet, put into the tomb with a sealed by a large stone. And then we have this almost unbelievable story of his being resurrected and walking out of the tomb. And that story has been debated many times by many people as to whether or not something like that could really ever happen. And there's one of the places where it's been debated is among what's been called, well, not been called because it still exists, the Jesus Seminar. And I'm wondering, have any of you read about or heard about the Jesus Seminar? No? No? Wow. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say it that way because, the Jesus Seminar was founded in 1985 by a man called Robert Funk, who put together a group of about 200 scholars from different faiths all over the world. And these scholars would sit down in open forum and they would try to figure out what is true and what is false regarding the scriptures, particularly about Jesus. They called it the search for the historical Jesus. What is it that we can find in the scriptures that we can authenticate as being historically true and accurate? And as you can imagine, that provoked some controversy when they came up with some of their ideas about what is true and what is not. And the way that they did that, by the way, was by a democratic process. So these scholars would get together and they'd do their research, and they'd have conversations, and they'd have debates, and then guess what they do? Now, Congregationalists do this all the time. They voted. They would vote by secret ballot as to what they believed was true and what was false. And sometimes their ideas about what was true and what was false rubbed people of faith the wrong way. We talked about that on a radio show when I was in South County called the Religious Roundtable, which still exists today. Have any of you ever listened to the Religious Roundtable? Scott's shaking his head. Well, I guess that's a South County thing. Actually, I went to 95.9 after I moved up to Pittsfield to see if they were interested. And it's not that they weren't interested, but it didn't fit in with their programming. So Pittsfield still doesn't have a religious roundtable, but maybe Bio would like to follow up on that. it was a wonderful seminar. So anyway, I was one of the lead moderators for the Religious Roundtable for quite a few years when I was in South County, and we would invite different clergy to join us, and sometimes people who weren't clergy. And I invited this one time Deborah Zecker. Many of you might know Deborah. She's a wonderful rabbi. She built the largest, probably one of the largest, well, built. She put together, because of her scholarship and because of her personality, what now is one of the largest Jewish congregations in the Berkshires, I believe. So Deborah came on to the Religious Roundtable, and we were talking a little bit about the Jesus Seminar and some of their conclusions. And one of their one of the things that they were talking about was Moses, and whether or not Moses actually really existed, and if he did some of these things that we read about actually happen because of what he did? And of course, part of that conversation was a parting of the Red Sea, right? And the Jesus Seminar decided that there was actually no historical evidence to prove either Moses or what Moses was purported to have done. And we were talking about that, and Deborah Zecker said this made this very interesting comment. She said, "I don't really care whether Moses existed or not. The story is true. I don't care whether Moses really existed or not. The story is true." Interesting, isn't it? And yet, I believe that we live out what she said all the time, beginning when we pick up our books and read to our children some of the fairy tales that we grew up with, that we want our children to know as well. Those fairy tales, for the most part, aren't historically true or accurate, right? I mean, Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox, Johnny Appleseed, based perhaps on a little bit of truth. I guess there was an actual Johnny. I don't know if his last name was Appleseed or not. but we often take sometimes historical figures that do some really wonderful things and then build up stories around them that are unbelievable and yet true. I don't know how many times Sue and I know many of you out there who have grandchildren, I've been through the same thing, have read over and over again the story about the little train that thought he could, that thought he could, that thought she could, that thought she could, right? And did the impossible and hauled that circus train up over the mountain and down the other side so that the children there could go to the circus. Now, any of you really believed it was such a little train like that? And yet, the story is true, isn't it? Very often, when people believe that they can do even the impossible, they do. So, the Jesus Seminar says, historically, Moses probably didn't even exist, but if he did, probably didn't do some of the things that the scriptures tell us he did. But yet those stories are true. One person can make a difference. One person can make a difference, and with passion and compassion, can change the lives of many others for the better or for the worse. It can work the other way around as well. My wife and I listened to two authors not too long ago speaking about the books they wrote about how much better this world of ours is. What do you think? Is the world a whole lot better for almost everyone than it was 50 years ago, 100 years ago? How many of you think it is? How many of you don't? So it's difficult because we get caught up in things like what's happening in Syria or Afghanistan or Iraq or down at our food pantry on Wednesday and Thursdays where 400 or 500 people come through to get food because they don't have enough food, and we think the world is going to, well, you know where, in a handbasket. And yet, listening to these authors who wrote books about how much better the world is getting, it's incredible because they have all the statistics and the facts to back them up. That the world for everyone, even people living in the poorest countries, is much better than it was 50 or 100 years ago. So one of the questioners listening to these authors said, well, what about Syria? What about the wildfires in California? And his answer was, the world is like our families, because one or two people in our families act out and do terrible things and disrupt the whole family, doesn't mean the whole family is bad. It was an interesting analogy for me, and also very true. It doesn't mean that it's always going to get better and better and better, but it is right now getting better and better and better. And that's, so I'm already off track here, but that's what Easter, I believe, is all about. Whether or not, and by the way, the Jesus Seminar makes it clear that there's no historical evidence, no historical evidence to back up the fact of the resurrection or the stories that the disciples tell after the tomb is found empty. Nobody can prove that Jesus actually walked out of that tomb. Nobody can prove that Jesus actually showed up to the disciples and did what the disciples said that he did. But the story is true. The story is true. And what's true, as Nathan Nettleton, my Australian hero, what is true is that whether Jesus was resurrected or not, because of what the disciples believe, the disciples unquestionably were converted, changed, resurrected because of what they believe. And that's another distinction, by the way, these two authors made, that I found really interesting, is that there's two kinds of facts. One kind is the facts that we can read about, that science, you know, proves through their research that is absolutely true. No question about it. And then there is the facts of what we choose to believe, which, by the way, may or may not be true, but has a whole lot to do with how we choose to behave. And so this author, I have to say something that sounds a little political, but one of the things this author used as an example was the fact that in spite of the fact that in this country, things are so much better than they were. Well, let's go back before the election. Things were so much better than they were. Using all the statistics that, you know, anybody could read about that were indisputable. People were better off, people had better paying jobs and so forth and so on, in spite of some of the issues that still exist. And then along comes a candidate who tells us how terrible things are. Right? And 63 million people believed him. 63 million people believed him. So two ways of looking at things. One is whether or not we believe what can be proven, or whether or not we choose to believe what we want to believe. And that can make all the difference in the world. Something to, for me, to really kind of took me back a little bit and made me think about things that I haven't thought a whole lot about. So, leaving that and going back to the resurrection itself, the disciples, because of their experiences, whatever they might have been, chose to believe that Jesus was still alive and the things that he said, the things that he taught them, were true. And the way that they ought to live their lives, whether or not Jesus was going to be physically with them or not, and he wasn't. After those appearances, Jesus disappears, right? And because they chose to believe that, they changed the world in which they lived, and this religion we call Christianity became one of the major religions in their world and now in our world, and has done some pretty awful things, but for the most part, some pretty wonderful things also. So let us hope that we continue to choose to believe as the disciples did in the resurrection, and continue to do as we are in this church and people are doing in so many other churches, helping to make this world a better place for everyone. Because Jesus excluded no one, and nor should we. And we're pretty good at doing that in this church. Amen.